has appeared to Lord Brahma, and because of Lord Brahma's devotion in the form which manifested itself in the form of tapasya or austerity, the Lord became pleased and revealed to Brahma the spiritual world. And Lord Brahma even saw him, the Supreme Lord, looking very, very, very beautiful. The Lord spoke to Brahma. And then Brahma asked him questions, because the Lord was ready to give him what he wanted, whatever he wanted. And he asked questions. And the Lord himself began to answer them, beginning in text 31. And those questions were to give Brahma direction by which he could create the universe, because that was his desire. His desire was service. He didn't want anything external to that, but he needed the ability to perform his service. And he saw that was fully above him, his own capacity, because after all, it was to create the universe. And he also understood that there is nothing different, that everything is Krishna, Krishna and his energies, and that he was insignificant. And how could he do this service, which was so important and required so much intelligence and power and so much dealing with the modes of material nature? Because after all, Lord Brahma is the guna avatar of which guna, which mode of material nature? Passion. So that means all the passion of the material world is coming through Brahma in that sense. So just imagine being the carrier of the totality of passion. If we think we have problems now, just imagine. Obviously one has to be so pure to be able to do this. But Brahma, part of his purity was to be the wisdom of being fearful of doing this service. Because when one doesn't succeed in his service, as Brahma couldn't succeed first without the proper power, one becomes miserable. And when one succeeds in one's service, what is the tendency? To become proud. This is due to the mode of passion. So Brahma wanted to know how he could do it, and also how to do it without succumbing to pride, thinking that I am the doer, I am the one doing this. Just see who else could create the universe. In fact, actually, there was no one else who could do it. So the Lord, in two verses, gave a prelude or a preamble to his explanation in answer of Brahma's questions. And in those two verses, the first verse is Gyanam Panamaguyam Me. He explained that this knowledge is very, very, very confidential. Very confidential. And not only that, there is wisdom attached to it, the deepest wisdom. And it is very, very, very secret. What is the word that the Lord used to describe the secretness, the confidentiality? Rahasya, rahasya. So there, and then the fourth important word is tarangam, which means the accompanying paraphernalia, as Prabhupada translates it. So there is knowledge, science, vijnana is also sometimes translated as science or wisdom. These are the hints that the Lord is giving about what he's going to reveal to Brahma. gyan, vigyan, then rahasya, sarahasya, and then tarangam, the process. What does rahasya mean? What is it more, the actual meaning, of course, is prema bhakti, as we heard last time. But it, or the secret, what is the most secret, the most mysterious of anything? Prema bhakti. But so these are the four things, and tarangam is the, is, you could say, the process, or the, that which is going to reveal prema bhakti. And that will be sadhana bhakti. So knowledge, the science, the wisdom of everything in its proper perspective, the actual goal, and the process of attaining that goal. So this, the first two, what's the first one? What? Okay, but what's the first one in that verse? Jnanam. Okay. And the second one? Vijnanam. It's important to remember these. These two are sambandha gyan. This is explained by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. We'll read some of his explanations gradually, day by day, in, from Chaitanya Charitamrita on these verses. Those two are sambandha gyan. And the third one is what? Which is the rahasyam. And what is that? Prayojana. This is the goal, the actual or an actual meaning of prayojana is necessity. It's so interesting to think of prema bhakti as the necessity. Why is it the necessity? It's the goal and something that seems so far away at times, but it's actually the necessity. This is the natural condition for the living entity, and this is what we are missing. And this is why nothing really works, because of the absence of prema bhakti. And when one has prema bhakti, everything works automatically, because prema bhakti is a product of the internal energy. So it means the living entity is under the shelter, the tattvastha shakti is under the shelter of the internal energy. Now, which energy are we sheltered by in general, not anyone in particular? I'm the only one I know for sure is sheltered by the Maya Shakti. No, I have the wrong one. Which one then? No. Yes. The external energy, Bahiranga Shakti, the Maya Shakti. So we have to change, and once we change our shelter to the antaranga shakti, the internal energy, or yoga maya, ladini sambit, so many ways to describe it, or the serving energy, or bhakti devi, then everything happens automatically, and that platform is basically called bhava, bhava bhakti. And then the fourth is this tarangam, or the paraphernalia, or the methodology, and that is Evideya Tattva, or the process. Then in the next verse, in text 32, the Lord explains that Brahma will realize all this by his blessings, because these things are not accomplished without the blessings of the Lord. And how to get the blessings of the Lord? Through the process of bhakti. So now, today, we'll attempt, and I think we shall succeed, to go through the first of the verses. So this is text 33. So we'll chant it line by line, and then possibly all together. Do you have this in front of you in any way? Some do. Okay, so chant along, please. Aham eva sam eva gre. Nanyat yat sarasat param. Pascharaham retas cha. Yo visheshet the so smyaham. together. Aham eva sam eva gre nanyad yat sarasat param paschad aham yadetascha yo vishishetaso smyamham. So aham, everyone knows what aham is. Yes? Anyone not know what the word aham means? Huh? Baba, you're in the wrong class. The Soham Ashram is over there. You know that old joke. You know that joke, Prabhu? There was one Mayavadi. He's writing. You know that joke? He's writing Soham. Soham, and the devotee is putting, he puts the duh in front of it. So he has written on the wall, Soham, I am that. So the devotee puts the duh in front of it, so it says, Dasoham. Dasoham. I am a servant. So he puts, so the Mayavadi sees that, and then the next day, so he puts, He puts sa. So what does that say then? Sa. Sada saham. So I'm always that. And then the devotee puts a d in front of a da in front of that, and it becomes dasa dasaham. I'm the servant. And in this way, the it goes on. But just notice in this verse how many times the word aham is used. I, 3 times. So there, the Lord is directly there speaking this to Lord Brahma, and he's saying, I. He's not saying that. He's saying, I. And yet the impersonalists will somehow squeeze an impersonal. When I'm saying I, how could it be impersonal? Especially 3 times. 3 times means emphasis. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam. Emphasis, 3 times. So aham, I, the personality of Godhead. Because he's speaking, clearly, he's the Lord of Vaikuntha. He's speaking, Eva Sam, Eva Asam, Eva Agre. So I, the personality of Godhead, certainly, Ava, there's 2 Avas there in the first line, existed. I certainly existed when Agre, before the creation, certainly before the creation. And then, Nanyats, Yats, Sarasat Param, and what was else there with me before the creation? Na'anyat. There was nothing else before me. Sarasat. Before anything existed, the Lord was there. Aham, evasam, evagre, nanya, yat, sarasat, param. And then, pascharaham, at the end, aham, Krishna says, I, the personality of Godhead, I will exist after the entire creation is finished, after it is annihilated, because the material creation is wound back into the Lord's transcendental body. So before the creation he existed, and after the creation is finished, wound up, annihilated, he's still there. And not only was he there before and after, as we would imagine, yovishashetha sosmyaham, that I remain, I am here now, and everything is me, actually. But yet he's saying, I. Yet everything is none different from that I, the Supreme Lord. That is what the absolute truth is. Nothing is different from him. Param satyam dhimayi, from the first verse of the Bhagavatam. To meditate upon the absolute truth means to know everything in its proper perspective. That means in relationship to the absolute truth. So if one sees everything in relationship to the absolute truth, which will be the subject matter of really of the first and second verses, because there's more to this knowledge that will bring it to the to actual wisdom that will be described in the next verse. But if one sees everything in relationship to the absolute truth, one is actually seeing properly. One's vision is perfect. So I'll read the verse here. Brahma, the Lord said, it is I. He's there. He's speaking I when he says I. Who else is speaking? It's him. It is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation, when there was nothing but myself. There was no one else, because he could have been existing before the creation. Hare Krishna. Where is this from? Because someone could be existing before the creation, but that doesn't make him the source of the creation, because so many others could also simultaneously be existing with him. But in this case, Nanyadyat Sarasat Param, there was no one else other than the Lord. So he alone is the source. And he alone is maintaining everything. And it is he alone who destroys everything. So Brahma is asked to create, but here it's basically saying that the Lord is the creator, but he's going to create through Brahma. Because he is Sarvakarana Karanam, the cause of all causes. So he continues into the second line, nor was there the material nature the cause of this creation, Sarasat. That which you see now, that which is in existence, is also I. It is not different from me. The personality of Godhead, is this actually conceivable? It's actually inconceivable. Because if I'm pointing to something, say, this is different from me, and here I am, a person, how, in what way is it different? Or excuse me, what way is it not different from me? So we could say that this is different from me. It's only temporarily. Everything in the material world, I may have something that's not different from me. I may own this, or I may be just using it. There's a difference even between owning it and using it. What's the difference between owning it and using it? If you own something, it's yours for... Well, you're speaking on a very big platform. Say if you own a car, it's yours until it either you sell it, it's yours for a long period of time. But if you're using it only, it's much more temporarily yours. But actually speaking, from the point of view of eternity, nothing belongs to anyone. Everyone is just using something temporarily. Everything belongs to Krishna, who is the source of everything. So there is nothing in existence that is different from him. It is his energy. We may use it temporarily, and he allows us to use it temporarily. But it's actually not ours, because I'm using this now, but when I leave it. Anything in this material world, we may use it temporarily, but when we leave it. But nothing gets left by Krishna. It's all his energy. It just comes out, stays for some time, and enters back into him. It comes out. The whole material universes come out, come back in, stay for some time, out like breathing. Out in, this is the material universes. This is Krishna, the absolute truth. And he does this, not even himself. He does all this just through his expansion. But he himself has a separate existence. But that is very confidential. And that only can be understood fully and actually when one is really qualified. Krishna explains this. And what is that qualification? What is it? Yeah, or bhakti. Bhakti amam abhijananti abhinyas tasmi tatpata. That without bhakti, one just cannot understand who this Krishna is. Who, meaning we could say, oh, there's Krishna. There's Prabhupada, there's Krishna. We can understand that, but actually who he is, how he's aham eva sameva gray, that he's the primeval person, the one who's maintaining everything, and the one whom everything enters into, one can't understand this without bhakti. Now, we'll read the first, more or less, the first page of Prabhupada's purport. It's a little more than 2 pages. We'll read the first page, beginning at the beginning. We should note very carefully that the personality of Godhead is addressing Lord Brahma and specifying with great emphasis himself, pointing out that it is he, the personality of Godhead, who existed before the creation. It is he only who maintains the creation, and is he only who remains after the annihilation of the creation. Only him, signified by aham, aham, aham. Brahma is also a creation of the Supreme Lord. The impersonalists put forth the theory of oneness in the sense that Brahma, also being the same principle of I, because he is an emanation from the I, the absolute truth, is identical with the Lord, the principle of I, and that there is nothing more than the principle of I. Now that's the impersonal way of viewing existence and this verse. Yes, I, aham eva sam. So they say that there is nothing in existence other than I am that. I am everything, or you can translate it into something that's easily understandable, that there is nothing in existence other than the principle of consciousness, and everything else, to perceive anything else other than that oneness is illusion. This is not what I am preaching, saying, or teaching, but this is how the impersonalists think. And they go very deep into their consciousness, they quiet the mind down, and they could actually perceive their Brahman nature to some degree, and then they take the bubble of their consciousness and try to merge it into the oneness of the ocean of I, and lose their own sense of I within the ocean of I. This is basic impersonalism. And that's how they interpret this book, verse. Yes, Krishna is saying it right here. It is only I that exists, and you are that I. So no problem. You're an impersonalist. But, of course, the Lord is saying, I. He's pointing to himself. He's speaking. He's not saying we. So they're saying, the impersonalists say, as Prabhupada is explaining, that Brahma is also saying, I. Because everyone says, I am going here, I am going there. And Krishna is saying, I. So therefore, yes, I exists. So therefore, see how it's just word jugglery. So they put forward the theory of oneness in the sense that Brahma, also being the principle of I, because he's an emanation from the I, the absolute truth, is identical with the Lord, the principle of I, and that there is thus nothing more than the principle of I, as explained in this verse. Accepting the argument of the impersonalist, so Prabhupada is now in the guise of saying accepting the argument of the impersonalist, he's going to smash it. It is to be admitted that the Lord is the creator I, and Brahma is the created I. Because Brahma was, you have to admit that, because they were just describing it, and Brahma's also admitting it. So there are two I's, that means, the one who's created, and the one who is the creator. Therefore, there is a difference between the two I's. namely the predominator and the predominator I, the one who is the big I, and then the little, the one who is predominated. So there's a difference. Therefore, there are still two I's, the big one and the little one, even accepting the argument of the impersonalists. But we must note carefully that these two I's are accepted in the Vedic literature. So this isn't anything that's astounding. There are two I's. Katupanishad in the sense of quality. So the big predominating I is not different from the little predominated I in the sense of quality. Just like the ocean is the same quality as the drop, or the gold mine is the same in quality as the gold ring. But to try to sell a gold mine, you will get so much more than you will get for your gold ring. The drop of water, we can put on our tongue, but can we put the ocean on our tongue? No. So there is a huge difference between the infinitesimal, the tiny, and the infinite, the great. Nityo Nityanam, this is from Kato Upanishad. Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Bahunam Yovadati Kamam. The creator I and the created I are both accepted in the Vedas as qualitatively one, because both of them are Nityas and Chaitanas. What does Chaitanas mean? Conscious, yes. Eternal and conscious. So qualitatively one. But the singular I is the creator, and the created I's are of plural number because there are many I's like Brahma and those generated by Brahma. It is the simple truth. The father creates or begets a son, and the son also creates many other sons. And all of them may be one as human beings, but at the same time, from the father, the son and the grandsons are all different. The son cannot take the place of the father, nor can the grandsons. Simultaneously, the father, the son, and the grandsons are one and different also. As human beings, they are one, but as relativities, they are different. They have relative positions. And the small ones are dependent on the great ones. And that is the difference between the relative truth and the absolute truth. The absolute truth is that truth that everything in existence depends upon. Everything. There is nothing outside of the field of that which depends upon him. That is what the absolute truth is. So there are so many other truths in that. Just like we can say that water is wet. Is that true or false? True. But the fact that water is wet isn't absolutely true. It depends on so many other things. For instance, if the temperature in this room was minus 400 degrees, and we're so happy it isn't. I said that number because whether we think in centigrade or I think everyone here is centigrade thinkers. So still it would turn to what? Ice, so it wouldn't be wet. Or if it was 400 degrees hot heat, with the heat, it would also be gone too. So it's relative. It's dependent on so many things. And who gave the quality of wetness? So the fact that it is wet is true, but it's dependent upon external things. So if we take the heat part, it's dependent on the heat. So what is the heat dependent upon? The heat is dependent on the sun. What is the sun dependent? And if you go back and back and back to the original, which everything depends upon, but that original is dependent on nothing else, then you get to Govindam Hari Purusham Tamaham Vajami. That is the absolute truth. That which everything else depends upon. He is Swatantra
independent and everything else is dependent upon him. Therefore, the relativities of the creator and the created, or the predominator and the predominated, have been differentiated in the Vedas by saying that the predominator I is the feeder of the predominated I. And thus there is a vast difference between the two principles of I. So Prabhupada, half the purport he spends on this one point, and then the rest of the purport he also explains basically the same point, that Krishna is the source and he's not impersonal. He is not impersonal, even though he is the source of everything. He's a person, but the supreme person. And he possesses achintya shakti, and that achintya shakti allows him to have, he has that position. He has inconceivable potency. And this is jnana. This is knowledge. To know Krishna's position, to understand what God actually is, that there cannot be a devil who has somehow or another escapes God's control and is a rebel or something like that. No, it is not possible. It may be a wonderful way to explain a particular point about the living entity's position in the world, but philosophically it's just simply not possible for something, someone, to give up, to be independent of Krishna, to capture a town and to be ruling it independently. It's just not possible. That means there is no God. It defies the definition of God. Here is what God is. Everything depends on him. There is nothing different from him. This is not different from him. That's why Vaishnavas are very careful what they touch with their feet, because to kick someone or kick anything is considered so disrespectful, and that there's nothing separate from Krishna. So therefore, everything should be respected. One time I asked Prabhupada about how should I treat a particular devotee. And he said, with respect. A Vaishnava treats everyone with respect, even an ant. Because there is nothing that's separate from Krishna. But it's not thinking that everything is Krishna because it's not separate from Krishna. That's called pantheism or some other materialistic impersonalism. But yet there is nothing separate from Krishna. And therefore everything, everyone is respected. Just like Prabhupada even used the saying, love me, love my dog. So when two gentlemen meet, he would say, they first pet and they're both walking their dogs. They're both, oh, what a nice dog you have. Like that. Or you, if there's someone you love and respect, and you see their father, their wife or husband or their children, you immediately show them respect and affection because of the connection between them. So therefore a Vaishnava gives respect to every living entity, even an ant, because everything, everyone is connected to Krishna. And to disrespect anything is to disrespect Krishna. And therefore the Vaishnava culture, of course the principle has to be applied practically, because the world you can't fully apply the Vaishnava culture in the world now, but the mood and the spirit should be there. When someone comes to the house, even if you don't know that they're coming or anything, immediately come in, you're a guest. What do you want? Please take something to eat. Please take a sitting place. Because this is Krishna. This is not Krishna sent. This occurrence is Krishna. So why can't we do that so practically? Because we can't always keep our doors open, because people are so un-Vaishnava-like that they do horrible things. But this is the culture. The culture springs from this principle. And therefore a devotee, he accepts everything that occurs as Krishna's mercy. Tateyanu kampam susamikshamano. Even our limitations, how can we accept those as Krishna's mercy? Even our inabilities in devotional service, not that we hold on to them tightly, but we have to see those as Krishna's mercy. How can we do that? Anything else? Yayatam mam prapadyante. It's not Krishna who's doing it exactly, but it's his mercy. How does his mercy fit into what we deserve? Where is he in that? If it's just what we deserve, how is it his mercy? Yes, but how is it his mercy then? There's one verse that answers that question exactly. The tateinu kampam susamikshamano. It's his mercy because I've done everything. Just imagine, say if I've lived so many lives and I've done so, and I've been a thief, I've been a murderer, I've been a this, I've been a that. I've done so many horrible things. I've been envious, I've been jealous, I've been cruel. And how much bad is due to me? So therefore, I'm just getting a little bit by Krishna's mercy. So see Krishna's mercy in that, even limitations, and then serve within our limitations. Please accept this, Krishna, because this is all I have. This is all I can do. And who doesn't have limitations? Even the most pious. Because that's what it means. We're limited. We're limited souls. We're dependent on Krishna. He's feeding us. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitanananam. So I'd like to read a few things. One, so there's nothing... Krishna is everything in that sense. He's a person, but yet there is nothing separate from him. So that means that we are living in Krishna when we're in Sri Vrindavan Dham or outside of Sri Vrindavan Dham. We cannot be outside of Krishna. And we cannot be outside of Krishna's will. It is not possible. Because Krishna has an Icha Shakti, which means whatever he desires happens. So we cannot be outside of his will. If we're even to do something nonsensical, we can't do it unless Krishna, as the Anumanta, what's the verse that has Anumanta Bharta Bhokta Maheshwara Paramatmati Chapyukto Dehismin Purusha? What's the beginning? Upadrashta, upadrashta. Upa means near, and drashta means seer. The near seer. He is so near, right in our hearts, and he's seeing what? He's seeing everything. Upadrashta anumanta means permitter. Bharta, the master, bhokta, the enjoyer, Maheshwara, supreme controller, and he's in the heart. So no one can live outside of Krishna's mercy. But if we are unconscious that we are living in Krishna's mercy, then we won't experience living as we are living as in Krishna's mercy. But if we are aware of jnana, then we know we're living only in Krishna. So therefore, a devotee can actually be peaceful in this world, and no one else actually. This is jnana, this is knowledge. Gyatva mam shantim richati, and it makes one peaceful. Makes one unenvious, and it makes one careful. Conscious. I'd like to read a little bit of what I wrote, which has, it's not very long, but it summarizes some of the points, it summarizes Prabhupada's purports too, to this verse. Although the Lord of Vaikuntha, Bhagavan, is the original source of all, he is nevertheless a person. This text clearly emphasizes his personal nature. For in it, the Lord, who is speaking, uses the words aham, I, three times. Aham means I, therefore the speaker who is saying aham, I, must have his own personality, insists Srila Prabhupada in his purport to this text, as cited in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi 1:53. This verse is quoted there. So Prabhupada says, if you say I, that means there's some characteristics that you have. Even being able to speak the word I is a characteristic. The ability to speak the word I is a quality. So how could someone who even says the word I be qualityless and impersonal? And if he's saying, I existed before the creation, that means he, as I, that person with qualities existed, not that suddenly there was an impersonal and then he adopted a personality, because he existed before the creation. So Adi Leela, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela 53, there are two sections in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that discuss these Chatusloki Bhagavatam verses, around Adi 1:53, and there's another section, maybe we'll have a purport that quotes, there's a quotation from that. So in Prabhupada's lengthy purport to 2.9.33, he also asserts this point, that I means personality. And just look in the room, there's not two that are the same. There's always personality. There's even identical twins are not identical. They always have differences. It's not possible to be undifferentiated oneness with anything. So Prabhupada in his purport asserts the point of qualities, and especially in regard to the Lord. He says, we should note very carefully that the personality of Godhead is addressing Lord Brahma and specifying with great emphasis himself, pointing out that it is he, the personality of Godhead, who existed before the creation. It is he only who maintains the creation. Only. And everything else that's maintaining it, just like the father is maintaining his family, the king is maintaining his subjects, but although he's only taking a portion of Krishna's energy, and through that energy, he's maintaining it. Everything ultimately is dependent on him. That is the meaning of the Absolute Truth. Everything depends upon him. Everything that is going on in creation, maintenance, and destruction in this world is going on by his power, his potency. So the three modes of material nature. Goodness causes maintenance. Passion causes what? Creation. And ignorance causes destruction. All these are potencies. This is the external potency of the Lord. It is he only who remains after the annihilation of the creation. So the end of the purport and some continuing. Nor does the Lord's existence mean that he alone exists. So if it says only, so we're thinking, oh, I am the only one who exists. That's also not true. When one exclaims, the king is coming, no one expects that the king will arrive alone. As the king's arrival implies the arrival of his entire retinue, the Lord's existence prior to the material creation also implies the existence of the Vaikuntha planets and his devotees who eternally dwell there. And there's a short comment by Srila Sridhar Swami on this verse. He describes the extents of the Lord's existence. This is Srila Swami in one sentence. He says, he is neither beginning nor end, for he is everything, including time. So he's the time that causes the beginning and the end in this world. So he is above that. Time cannot affect him. He is the cause of everything. And therefore, he has no equal. Because any... And what's his name that means he is... No one is equal? Asama. Sama means what? Sama means... So Asama means no equal. And Udva means higher. So no one is higher and no one is the same as him. He, everything rests on him. Everything. And yet he's a person. Is that wonderful? Everything. Just think of something. Even your thinking processes rest on him. The thing that you're thinking of rests upon him. We can't avoid him. Even if, just like the person in the prison, he can't avoid the government. And he's living on the mercy of the government, still in prison. He doesn't think like that, but it's the government who is feeding him, the government is clothing him, the government is giving him his bed. He's still living in the mercy, on the mercy of the government. Unavoidable. So in Madhya Lila, in chapter 25, verses 110 through 115, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in those six verses speaks about this one verse. He will paraphrase it. That is what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj does so much of the time in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He gives his purports, basically their commentaries. But he says a verse in Sanskrit about Krishna, sometimes intimate statements about Krishna. Then he'll, in Bengali verses, he'll expand about those verses and make the meaning still sweeter because of the expansion and more clear exactly what's being done. He makes it more visible to our eyes. So therefore, it said, Krishnadas Kaviraj Rasika Bhakta Maj. He is the greatest of the rasika, because he's tasting this and he's allowing us, he's giving us some of his remnants of what he's tasted. So here, in these verses, he takes this one verse and expands it into these six verses, 10 through 15 in Madhya 25. So I'll read those verses. Before the creation of the cosmic manifestation, the Lord said in this verse, I existed, and the total material energy, material nature, and the living entities also existed in me. After creating the cosmic manifestation, so before everything was in him, after creating the cosmic manifestation, therefore when it expanded from him, I entered into it. So he's the one, it's his energy. The whole material manifestation is his external energy, gunamayi. And yet also, it not only is his energy, he's uplifting it as the supersoul. So I entered into it, the material energy, and we've heard about this, as Brahma has described this. He enters in everything as the supersoul, as Garbhadaksha Vishnu, as the Vishwarupa. He's everywhere, in everything, and plus it's his energies. All expanding from him. So this gives us an indication why we worship God. Because, why? Yeah, he's the greatest. The very, very greatest. This is what it means to be God. Not that you get a toothache and have to go to the hospital, or you can produce this much gold or ashes or something. That doesn't make one God. Or that you can meditate and make your consciousness peaceful and think about existence until you lose your sense of I-ness for a short time. That doesn't make one God. This is what God is. So he says, I entered into it. Whatever you see in the cosmic manifestation is but an expansion of my energy. Just look around at this cosmic manifestation. We can't see the air, maybe, but we know it's there by moving our hand, or we feel it breezing against us. This is also Krishna's energy. Each individual is Krishna's energy. Different combinations of parayami das param prakriti vinimayi param. Different combinations of Krishna's energy. We're living in Krishna's energy. You like that? You have to, because it's unavoidable. Yes, we're tiny. We're so tiny. And he is so great. And those who don't like it, they come to the prison of the material world. So we like it. We must like it. Why must we like it? You can't must like something. But when, because if you're forced to like it, he's God, we can't avoid it. Okay, I'll pay my taxes, I'll do what I'm supposed to, but that doesn't evoke love in the heart. But when we hear about who this person is, who he actually is, not only he's everything and everything coming from him, but he's also the most beautiful of cowherd boys and wonderful pastor and his most charming personality, then gradually, because it's our natural position to love him. That's who we are, actually. Lovers of Krishna. Gopi Bhakta, Parakamala Radhasa Dasana. It's the natural consciousness. But not, it can't be done by force either. So Kaviraj Goswami continues. After creating the cosmic manifestation, I entered into it. Whatever you see in the cosmic manifestation is but an expansion of my energy. So if it's his energy, therefore it should be used in his service, especially because we are also his energy. And we also, our free consciousness, should be used in his service. And then again, when the whole universe dissolves, I remain full in myself, and everything that was manifested is again preserved within me. It is kept quite well within the Lord as Garbhadakshay Vishnu. So he's expanding the meaning of the verse. And then he explains further. Prior to the cosmic manifestation, only I exist, and no phenomena exist, either gross or subtle or primordial. Primordial probably means the Mahatattva. After creation, only I exist in everything. And after annihilation, only I remain eternally. In this verse, beginning Aham Eva, Kaviraj Goswami says, the word aham is expressed three times. In the beginning, there are the words aham eva, and the second line, the words paschadaham, and at the end of the word sos asmi aham. This aham indicates the Supreme Person. By repetition of aham, the transcendental personality, who is complete with six opulences, is confirmed. Impersonalists do not accept the personal feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The personality of Godhead is stressed in this verse in order to impress upon them the necessity of accepting him. Therefore, the word aham is mentioned three times to stress something important. One repeats it three times. So that is what Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has said in his Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then I've written a little summary of the points from Prabhupada's purport. So I'll just read that and then we'll stop and ask questions if anyone has any or comments. So the first point is nothing exists beyond the I who is mentioned in this verse. That I is the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's I and his energies, therefore the Panchatattva. It's the absolute truth in five features, five aspects of the same absolute truth. Together they comprise the absolute truth. So there's the Lord and his energies, and together that is the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of Vaikuntha. So that I is the absolute truth, not the all is the formless Brahman of the impersonalists. Because that Brahman is also an aspect of the absolute truth. Brahmano, hi pratishtaham. What does that mean? Yes, the pratishtaham means it's resting upon me. Even the Brahman is resting on him. This is wonderful. This is what who God is in his power aspect. And before one can understand more intimately, one has to understand who God actually is, what the concept means. Second, yet a second I does exist. These individual souls who are not different from the Lord, as one is the creator and the other is the created. Both are individuals. The difference between these eyes is of quantity, not quality. The predominated, both eyes, the predominator and the predominated, are persons. Brahma is actually seeing the predominator eye, the Lord, face to face. How wonderful. What an incredible conception, even. Seeing the source of everything face to face. It's actually an inconceivable concept, because you're also, he's also the source of you, and you're not different from him, and yet you're seeing him. This is amazing. That predominator Lord, the source of all, exists before, during, and after the material creation. 3. Srila Prabhupada quotes from Shastra to demonstrate the Lord as a person eternally and transcendentally exists as the original source of creation. 4. Along with the Lord exists in the spiritual world the eternal Vaikuntha planets in transcendental variegatedness. So much variety in the spiritual world. There's Krishna, but everything is connected to him. And there's the beautiful trees. There are the beautiful jewels everywhere. There are the most wonderful personages. And then there is the love. And nothing is separate. And there's pastimes. And everything is contained in the spiritual energy. Just like here in this world, everything is within the realm of the Maya energy. And there everything, but still not different from him. Nothing is separate. 5. Srila Prabhupada offers quotations from the Srimad Bhagavatam and other Shastras to assert the eternal existence of the personality of Godhead. 6. The Lord exists personally but works through his energies, which is parallel to a king's existing and acting through his government, which are his energies. Even though the king may not be seen in every governmental office, even though if you go into different embassies, they'll, at least in the United States embassy and the Australian, they have a picture of the prime minister. And do they have in the Indian bureaucratic offices, do they have some governmental picture? This is to remind us the fact that he's the source of the energy of which they are the governmental office. Same point. So even though the king may not be seen in the governmental office, so they put pictures there sometimes, the king nevertheless is the source of all government power. 7. Srila Prabhupada presents Shastric evidence to demonstrate that the Lord existed prior to the Purusha avatars. 8. The Lord is impersonal through his energies within the material world, but he is ultimately personal. On the confidential level, within the spiritual Vaikuntha planets, he is always visible as a person. 9. Both features of the Lord, with form and without form, do exist. Yet realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not of the impersonal Brahman, is the goal. For Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the root cause of all. Even of Brahman. Brahmano hi pratishtham. So just completing here. Thus the Lord has offered Brahma jnana, true knowledge of himself as the absolute truth, the source of all, including the impersonal Brahman, the individual souls, and the entirety of the material creation. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. So, to some degree, we've covered this first of the four Chaturshloka verses, and this is Gyan. Tomorrow, if Krishna allows us to cover text 34, we'll cover the second concept, and what is that? Vigyan, science, wisdom, completing the Sambandha Gyan, the knowledge of Krishna and. Raise your hand if you went on the prakrama yesterday. Almost everyone. Raise your hand if you're tired. That tiredness is also part of Krishna. But which part? Which part? The backside. The back. Which part of the illusory energy? The mode of ignorance, coming from the passion. Because nothing stays stable in the material world. So frustrating. Everything is changing. Even if you decide you like the passion, then it turns into ignorance. And then it turns to goodness. And then it turns to passion, ignorance. There are different mixtures of these things. The material world is made to frustrate us. Were there any questions? If not, we'll end. Did you have a comment or? Yes. Oh, I'd answer it now, but then I won't have anything to say tomorrow. I've already touched on it already. Question was, why is this is Gyan what we learned today, and tomorrow the verse is Vigyan, which is higher than Gyan. So happy to see you. Actually, I was thinking about you. All the classes not the same. Now it's the same. What time does your flight leave?
11 o'clock.
Tonight? Yeah. I was thinking, oh, he's left and not even said goodbye. Oh. We shall discuss this tomorrow. I'll try my best anyway. Yes. No, I meant this Pancha Tattva because it's the absolute truth. What's the title of the Adi Lila of that chapter? Maybe. What's the title of the chapter? Yes. These are the five aspects. The Lord, His expansion, His energy and like that, and including the jiva, not different from him.
What is the verse on Krishna's Taylor Act? He's blessed Taylor?
From Narottama Das Thakur in Pratana, possibly the third song or something like that. Second or third song, I think.
What is that one
referred
to that song?
Huh?
There's
a line in it, Krishna Das Kaviraj Rasika Bhakta Maja. Krishna Das Kaviraj is the greatest of the relishers of the mellows of Krishna's devotional service. Referring to Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's Narottama Das and Govinda Lilamrita. Tomorrow, though. You mean, is it they meaning? In Vrindavan, the only place that's directly connected to Narottama Das Thakur is at Gokulananda, Radha Gokulananda Mandir, where he has a Nambhajan, but Bhajan Kuti, Nan Samadhi. It's not his actual
physical samadhi, but it's in more memory, commemorated to him. And in Radha Damodar temple, he spent time learning. In Khetri, they have, in Bangladesh, now Bangladesh, there's one, oh, but you're not going to be here tomorrow, though. Otherwise I'd say we'll talk about it tomorrow. But I visited that place, the places of those temples. Rajsayi. Where's Rajsayi near? It's very close to West Bengal in Bangladesh. 1 hour from Benapol, by bus, the place of Haridas Thakur. And then another hour, the bus stop is called Premtali, right by the river Padma, or they call it Padda, where Narottama Das went into the waters of the Padma River, and he received the mercy that Mahaprabhu had deposited there for him, and he came out all golden color, and he took shelter under a big tamal tree there, and that tree is still there, and it's called Premtali, the tree of prema. So even in Islamic Bangladesh, that bus stop on that town is called Premtali.
Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Narottama Das Thakur ki jai. Lord Brahma ki jai. Go Bhaktivinoda ki jai.